It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
You betcha. Some things are worth fighting for, and that's what we're going to continue to do. Remember, it wasn't even a week ago that the President of the United States spoke to a joint session of Congress, and we were riveted. It wasn't just those of us that feel, you know, wanted him to be president after he was the last candidate who felt that Hillary Clinton would have been a disaster for the country. It just wasn't us. In fact, a polling showed that 7 in 10 speech watchers say that Donald Trump boosted optimism in the direction of the country, and two-thirds say he has the right priorities. And that is according to CNN. 63% of people polled by Rasmussen say that it's a better country if Democrats work with President Trump. But alas and alack, it was not to last. And there's a reason for that. Because the left is not going to go down without a fight. They are not just going to say, well, too bad, we lost this election, and now we'll wait 4 years, and then we'll get our guy in. We are seeing, ladies and gentlemen, how deeply they have embedded themselves not only in government, in the intelligence agencies, in the press, things we knew, but I don't think we had any idea just how much power they had amassed. And now they are unleashing their power to try to stop Donald Trump, to get him out of office, to destroy the people around him. This is a very serious situation. Some I know are actually even calling it a silent coup. Some are calling it a shadow government. And I know, you know, I was watching Fox yesterday afternoon, Eric Shaw. I don't know what Eric's been drinking, but if you watch his show with Arthel Neville? I think her name is that. Arthel Neville. You would think that, you know, Donald Trump is just an idiot. How dare he fight back at this? You know, oh, there's nothing to see here. You know, and they have continuous lineup of Democrats and left-leaning people from even from the House of Representatives who just pile on. There's no counter. So then you listen to that and you think, well, Donald Trump is getting a little crazy here, isn't he? By accusing President Obama of wiretapping his campaign, the Trump Tower, isn't this just kind of get a little crazy? Because we find out now that Donald Trump on Saturday tweeted in the early morning hours that the Trump campaign and the Trump Tower had been wiretapped. So now we're hearing, well, that's just crazy. That can't possibly be. In fact, Chuck Todd James Clapper on, the former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. And now I have to tell you that we know that Clapper is a liar. We saw him under oath lie before Congress about surveilling American citizens. So we have it on. I can't play the clip for you, but you'll see it in other places. He is not an honest person. I would argue that most people in the intelligence services don't have the luxury of being completely honest. So I'll say that in his defense. But when he says something, you can't necessarily trust that it's so. But let's listen to this interchange with him and Chuck Todd on NBC.
I know that this is
if
a time.
If something like that happened, would this be something you would be aware of?
I would certainly hope so. I can say, obviously, I can't speak officially anymore, but I will say that for the part of the national security apparatus that I oversaw as DNI, there was no such wiretap activity mounted against the president-elect at the time, or as a candidate, or against his campaign. I can't speak for other Title III mm-hmm. authorized entities in the government or a state or local entity. Yeah,
well, I can't speak. I just know that for my, you know, I can't say for sure. No, I can't say that they were. But you do you catch that? The ambivalence? There is no reason to say with assurance that there was no surveillance. In fact, you will hear from J. Christian Adams, who's going to join me in just a second, that the term wiretap doesn't apply, but surveillance does. And most of us, most of the national security experts that I trust say there indeed was surveillance. The problem was that Donald Trump used the word wiretap. So now they can deny a wiretap, but they can't deny that broad surveillance took place, and that includes computers and all of that. Just wasn't that particular method of wiretapping. So now we hear that Donald Trump did the tweeting. Then we hear the director of defense intelligence. We hear people like Marco Rubio. Well, I'm not going to participate in conspiracy theories. We hear, you know, Republicans, you know, as usual, absolutely. Oh, not me. I can't. No, not daring ever to admit or confront, always taking the easy way out, which is what they continue to do. And I think that's why many people, including me, were disappointed that the new attorney general who's just been sworn in, who is just such a wonderful man, Senator Jeff Sessions, now Attorney General Jeff Sessions, so quickly did this on Friday afternoon. Let's listen to Cut 5.
My staff recommended recusal. I believe those recommendations are right and just. Therefore, I have recused myself in the matters that deal with the Trump campaign.
So here's the deal. His staff has advised him. Do you know who his staff is? His staff are still the staff of Loretta Lynch, with very few exceptions. And, you know, it's like Senator Sessions is a gentleman, and many people are, some are, that serve in Congress, and they just don't seem to understand that there is subversion going on. It's like you're playing at cards with someone, and the person that you're playing with is a cheater. You're not a cheater. You follow the rules, but you can't win. You cannot beat a cheater. And so it's going to take the will of iron and a spine of steel to turn back and to subvert and to stop the destruction that's going to take place if people don't do that. The problem is, of course, that Donald Trump has not been able to get much of his staff in there. And a lot of people that have gotten in have gotten in because they have gone through the grid of the establishment. Reince Priebus is over hiring. He's the ultimate. And so a lot of people, I think I just read to you last week, I believe I did, Rob Portman was bragging, actually, his staff on his website about how they'd managed to sneak in lots of their people in the administration. They actually wrote that. So then you have these people that don't want the president to succeed for different reasons because, you know, he wasn't their guy. And so this is really a perfect storm. And I have to tell you, I just think only God, once again, only God can step in and sort this mess out. That is not to say that you and I don't have a responsibility to share information and get what we believe is the truth out there. By the way, I'm going to post some really good articles on our Facebook page this morning, and I'll get specific later. I tweeted them yesterday, but I can't recall exactly which articles, but one was Mark Levin and others that I think are things that you can share that are trustworthy information on this, because I'm not sure you're going to get it on Fox right now. I think you'll get it on some shows on Fox, but not all of them. So just be wary and be smart, and let's equip ourselves with the truth. Now, Senator Sessions recused himself. That's a problem, because the only people over there left are Obama appointees. And I don't know what's going to happen with that, and what does President Trump do if there's like, maybe, if we're lucky, half a dozen people in the White House who actually are willing to fight. What does he do if he's surrounded and he doesn't have people willing around him and further down the chain who actually understand what's going on here? I don't have the answer to that, but I'm just presenting to you what the problem is right now. And I guess the obvious answer is we pray. We pray. This is when God does his best work, because this is wrong. It's just wrong. So I have a lot more things to tell you, so let me jump in here. The irony of it is the FBI assistant director reported to Reince Priebus, 10 days ago, that they found nothing. They found no connection between the Donald Trump campaign and a coordination with Russians. In fact, even James Clapper said so yesterday with Chuck Todd. Let's listen to cut four.
Does intelligence exist that can definitively answer the following question, whether there were improper contacts between the Trump campaign and Russian officials?
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
I understand that, but does it exist?
Not to my knowledge.
And so, oh, by the way, there's probably nothing here, but they still continue to surveil. And as best I understand, they surveilled all this information. And then, of course, we know that the press started reporting all of these with Michael Flynn, we found out that somehow the press had gotten hold of all this information. And now we know that in the last few days of President Obama's administration, he expanded the power of the National Security Agency to share globally intercepted personal communications with the government's 16 other intelligence agencies before applying privacy protections. So no privacy protections like to guard and block out names of American citizens. They just sent it, blasted it to all the 16 intelligence agencies and relaxed the limits and the restraints. And of course, what happened was then hundreds, if not thousands of people got information that was unfiltered, that was personal and private, and then it was leaked to the press. So that's how it went down, and that was Barack Obama, who has moved in 2 miles from the White House. Valerie Jarrett, born in Iran, family involved with communists. You can look up the Jarrett family, if you like, and Valerie's own connections. And now we seem to have what many are calling, and I would agree, is a shadow government. By the way, Soros-tied Obama lawyers are forming a group to battle Donald Trump. The organization is calling itself United to Protect Democracy. It's being funded by billionaire George Soros. Politico's reporting this. And it's going to be led by Ian Bassin, who served as associate counsel to Obama in the White House. And he previously served in the Education Policy Working Group for Obama's 2008 presidential transition team. So their job, they're saying, is while other Trump opponents focus on taking the president to court over the travel ban and deportations, this group plans to drill into issues that aren't already hitting the headlines, like potential intervention in and intimidation of regulatory agencies by West Wing staff, freedom of information requests. They're going to overwhelm and try to destroy the shadow government. And so let me just tell you who is connected with the Russians, and I don't even have time to play this clip. But let me just say, we've had Nancy Pelosi come out and just, oh, my, this is just terrible. Jeff Sessions, you know, met with the Russian ambassador. And then, of course, we find out quickly in a photo that Mrs. Pelosi, who lied, had also met with Kislyak, the Russian ambassador. So had Claire McCaskill, who waxed eloquent on Twitter about how, oh, she was on that committee with Jeff Sessions and she never met with him. But then we find out she actually did, and she tweeted twice about it. She said, oh, I just didn't have enough characters to explain it wasn't a one-on-one. And then we know that John Podesta is deeply involved with the Russians in terms of business interests. I don't have time to go into that, but just trust me, if you want to see it, it's in the Wall Street Journal. It's his connection to the Russians. The Russian ambassador, in fact, the one that Jeff Sessions met with inadvertently at Heritage. He met with him then in his office in his duties as senator. Well, that's just such a terrible thing, but it's not a big deal that this same ambassador visited the Obama White House 22 times. And it's not a big deal, of course, that Barack Obama, with the president of Russia, Medvedev, when he was president, off mic, caught in an unguarded moment, promises the president, Medvedev, that I will have more. Tell Vladimir, this is like a bad spy novel. Tell Vladimir I will have more flexibility when I win re-election. Just tell Vladimir that, Mr. Medvedev. So we catch that off-mic remark, but that's no big deal. Sessions meeting in his capacity as senator with the Russian ambassador, that's a big deal. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer met with, we've got a picture of him eating donuts with President Vladimir Putin. But that's not a big deal. But when Sessions Matt, that's just terrible. He has to recuse himself. And by the way, they set Sessions up months ago. They ask a question, a hypothetical. If we found out that the Trump administration, you know, some of his campaign staff had, you know, colluded with the Russians, would you recuse yourself? Would you recuse yourself? And Sessions, the honorable man that he is, said, well, yes, I would. He set himself up. They asked him the question. The actual question in the hearing with Jeff Sessions was from Minnesota, Al Franken. He was reading an article. He was actually laughing. He said, this just came out from the New York Times. I can't even corroborate it, but it's a hypothetical. But let me ask you this question. And Senator Sessions, who should not have answered a hypothetical question, said, well, yes, if I, you know, he answers the question. And so that's what started a lot of this. I recognize I'm giving you a lot of information. I'm going to put some articles on our Facebook page so that you can read more of the detail. But I want to make time for J. Christian Adams, the former whistleblower, attorney at the Justice Department, who joins us next. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, this is Ron Ball, and this is your Choose Greatness Minute. When I was a student at Asbury College, I had a crisis of faith, and I went one day to pray for God to speak to my heart. While I was sitting on a bench on our campus, I opened up a book about Billy Graham, and I began to read about an experience he had as a young man. He also had a crisis of faith. He was in California, and he went out into the woods and found a large rock where he began to pray, and at that rock, he made a decision to obey God no matter what. Charles Stanley told me years ago that the most important priority in his life was to obey God. Well, put those two things together. Sometimes you need to go to the rock, and I don't mean a physical rock. I mean the rock Jesus Christ. And at that rock, you need to affirm that you are obedient to him no matter what. Go to the rock. Go to the rock now and make your stand for Jesus Christ today. Do you want to learn more? Go to choosegreatness.com. That's choosegreatness.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. For as far back as anyone can remember, boys have worn red gowns and girls have worn white gowns at high school graduation in Elyria, Ohio. But that tradition is about to end. One member of this year's graduating class is a female who does not identify as a boy or a girl. Instead of politely explaining that tradition is tradition, the school district decided to accommodate the non-gender student. The superintendent told Channel 19 News the school should demonstrate unity and show how much they embrace diversity. So this year, all the graduating seniors are going to wear red gowns with white sashes. I'm not quite sure how that embraces diversity, other than suggesting the entire graduating class is gender fluid, both male and female. But diversity is really not the point. It's about total allegiance to the LGBTQIA's agenda. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Well, it's a very serious situation. You know, we knew that when Donald Trump won the election, that the left would not go down quietly. We knew that they would fight. They would not just say, oh, well, we'll wait till next election. They would not go away and allow these policies that are the policies of the American mainstream to be applied. They would not allow, now we see the nominees, they would not allow the immigration policies. You fill in the blank. But I don't think we actually understood how deeply They had embedded themselves in government. J. Christian Adams joins us. Of course, he's formerly with the Justice Department. He's an expert on these things. You've seen him all over the media talking about this. Christian, let's go right to the chase here, because this morning's news is that Director Comey, now of the FBI, is allegedly asking the Justice Department to report that there was no order of a wiretap. What do you know about that?
Well, look, this has never been about a wiretap. I think Trump may have used a common term to describe something far worse that was taking place. What this was an intelligence gathering operation, potentially, where they had a FISA warrant, which allowed them to tap into communications off of the server at the Trump campaign. And we saw this intelligence manifest when they took down Mike Flynn. Because remember, there were transcripts, according to the Washington Post and New York Times, of conversation that Trump's surrogates were having with foreign leaders. So this is not really about a wiretap. It's about an intelligence gathering operation that all signs are occurred and is being used by the bureaucracy to take down Trump supporters like Sessions and Flynn. They tried it against Steve Bannon, and to alter policy.
The FISA court, which is that secret court, and I don't know if it was even in place before 9/11. Actually, my husband used to work in the FISA court as an FBI agent. He was the one who delivered those requests for wiretapping or investigations. And they don't always say yes. So my understanding is that they went in June and asked for the ability to, whatever the word is, to surveil the Trump administration and their ties to Russia. It was denied, and then they went back in October, and it was affirmed. What do you? And yet Comey's saying there's no truth to this. I don't understand this, Christian.
Well, they're taking advantage of Trump using the word wiretap. That's what's happening, Sandy. All the Democrats are going to focus on the word wiretap, and we need to move away from that, because it's not about wiretapping. It's about surveillance broadly. It's about gathering transcripts of Mike Flynn's conversations to later be used in the New York Times. It's about gathering intelligence about the campaign and their contacts. It's never been a wiretap about listening on the phone with Trump. It's about other things. And so we know, and we should know, by the way, that a FISA warrant was granted. This is supposed to be secret information. So the fact that we even know that shows you the depths that the deep state and the bureaucrats in the swamp are willing to reveal secrets to take down Trump.
Christian, explain to us. We know now that in the last week, or not more than 2 weeks, of the Obama administration, President Obama ordered the NSA, who is the one who collects all this data. It's been very controversial for a long time, listening to Americans' phone calls with people overseas, and what do you reveal, what don't you reveal? So he loosened the boundaries of their very strict rules. Explain that and how that may have contributed to this.
Well, this was deliberate, too, and this is very important for people to understand. Let's suppose you're in fifth grade and you've got a secret, and the rule is you can only give it to two people because you want it to stay a secret. What Obama did at the very end of his administration is change the rules that allowed 50 people to have that secret. 50 people throughout the Justice Department, throughout the government, and it's not literally 50, I'm just using that as an example. And so what happens when you expand from two people to 50 people, and what happens when some of those 50 people happen to be hardcore left-wing anti-Trump ideologues? Well, we know what happens because we read it in the New York Times, and the New York Times got access to secret information involving intelligence surveillance. Look, they can try to make fun of Trump all they want, but all you need to do is read the New York Times and Washington Post. And Breitbart and Mark Levin have gone through Washington Post and New York Times and CNN stories over the last 2 months and pulled out the part where they are citing secret intelligence information that the reporters have gotten through sources inside the government. So this is not some fantasy or conspiracy theory. This is simply something that you can see when you read the New York Times.
Now, Christian, the thing, of course, that strikes me, that James Comey yesterday. Now, all this is a report in the New York Times. We don't have a statement from Director Comey. We have nothing from him. We just have this story in the New York Times that says, it's titled, Comey Asks Justice Department to Reject Trump's Wiretapping Claim. All right, let me emphasize, we have no statement from Comey. We have nothing in writing. It's just the New York Times reporting this. So that's one issue that I want you to address. But the second issue is, it was just, what, last week that the FBI refused Reince Priebus' request to simply make a statement affirming what they told Priebus, that there was no substance to the allegations of some collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. So, and they refused to make public anything like that. And now they're willing, it seems, according to the New York Times, to make this public. Is there a difference in these particular pieces of information?
Well, the way you understand the inconsistency is to understand the ideological makeup of the bureaucracy. When you realize that the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., a.k.a. the swamp, is so tilted heavily for Democrats, so tilted against Trump, that you can understand the inconsistencies in leaking. But look, once again, Comey's focused on wiretaps. Trump made a mistake by using that word because it allows the left to knock him down and ridicule him, because wiretaps didn't happen. What did happen was surveillance using the intelligence agencies, and that surveillance data was later used to attack political opponents. Sandy, that's what happens in a police state. I am not overstating that. One of the characteristics of a police state is foreign intelligence services are turned inward to spy on opponents of the regime and then to act on that intelligence gathered. That is what a police state does. That's what happened to Mike Flynn. So folks need to view this not in the context of, did Trump say wiretap, but what's going on the pages of the New York Times to attack people like Jeff Sessions and Mike Flynn.
All right, Christian, let's get down deep here, because we know that Barack Obama has moved in a couple of miles from the White House. We know that Valerie Jarrett has moved in with the family. We know that there is allegedly, at least you and I, are seeing the elements of a shadow government form and what has been referred to as a silent coup. Is that an overstatement?
Well, I wouldn't use the word coup, but I will tell you, I've been telling people, particularly Trump supporters, that you need to realize that this does not end with the election. If you think Donald Trump was going to roll into Washington and fix everything, you're crazy, because I've worked inside the federal government. The federal government is a big, giant, sticky swamp of tangles and brambles that somebody who doesn't know what they're doing will have a very difficult time changing anything. And the battle has just begun. It did not end on Election Day. If you are a supporter of Trump, if you're a supporter of limited government, you need to be more engaged now than you were before the election, because this is the real fight.
Oh, Sessions, of course, recused himself. The Attorney General, newly appointed, quickly recused himself on Thursday from overseeing this investigation. And Christian, we know, those of us that watch this closely, know that the seeds of some allegation of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia were planted a long time ago. They were planted by Jay Johnson. They were planted by the president. They were planted by various members of Congress saying various things that at the time seemed ridiculous. But now it's gaining ground, and it's what recourse does a Trump administration have when it has so few of its own people in place?
Well, look, that's another problem. And the people that are being put in are not always people who are willing to fight the swamp. And so, you know, he could appoint an acting deputy attorney general today, but it has to come from inside the swamp under the law. You have to pick a deputy attorney general that's acting from somebody who makes the same amount of money that's already inside the Justice Department. So, you know, finding that person is going to be the trouble. I was amused by Senator Sessions AG Sessions saying that he got ethics advice that he should recuse himself. You know what? The ethics office at DOJ is also totally leftistly corrupt. I remember very particular ethics advice that was ideologically skewed. And so this is what people need to understand. The fight takes place on this granular level where ethics officers are advising the Attorney General whether they need to recuse themselves. There isn't some grand battle that occurs to drain the swamp. It's day in, day out, small stuff. And that's where we're totally outnumbered by the bureaucrats who have taken over Washington.
Christian, you wrote an article, a story that I have mentioned on the air, but it needs to be restated. The connections between the president of the United, the last president of the United States, Obama, the connections between the Democratic Party and Russia are legendary. They are legion. And I'm going to make that case a little bit later in the show. But you wrote an article about the, in writing, connections between a sitting senator. Just tell us briefly who that was.
Ted Kennedy. He attempted to swing the 84 election against Reagan by colluding with the Soviets.
Yeah, we have the letter. We have the letter because, what was the Verdona files or something to that effect, were revealed. This is when I remember when I was at president of CWA, these files were made public after all those years. And we have a letter to whoever was the premier of Russia at the time, telling them if they just help him to defeat Ronald Reagan, he will be kinder to them. It's just an amazing letter. And the point is that the collusion is not on the part of Donald Trump. It's on the part of the Democrats. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, that's what's so delicious about this whole story, is the Democrats are engaging, you know, Russia. Think about that, Sandy. From 1949 to 2016, if you talked about Russian agents affecting things in America, the Democrats laughed at you. But now suddenly, you know, in 2017, Russian involvement in America is their top concern. But, you know, like everything else, it's projection with the Democrats. It's always projection. They accuse you of doing what they actually do. And so this is a convenient tactic for them to delegitimize the president, put him on defense, cause resources to be used to fight the fight instead of transforming and undoing what Obama did.
Okay, one last question, because I know you have to catch a plane. This alleged report for the New York Times, and it is an article, the allegation that James Comey, the director of the FBI, is trying to force it or encourage the Justice Department to make a statement to deny Donald Trump's claims. All right, so if that's true and it goes to justice and it's Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the two or three people who are surrounding him, friendlies at justice, what happens with that?
Well, I'm not even sure he has two or three people surrounding him friendly, but putting that aside, look, it's going to be easy to deny the wiretap. Because that was not what's happening. It's not a wiretap, as I said three or four times in this interview. It's something worse. And so the Justice Department, I predict, if they do say anything, will say, oh, no, there was no wiretap. Well, we know there was no wiretap. What there was surveillance, foreign intelligence surveillance. That's the question that Comey and everybody else. Look, Trump should disclose this. Put it all out there. Show the American people the insidious nature of the deep state. Put the documents out, declassify them, and show everybody what they're really up to.
All right, well, we'll see if they're going to do that today. Christian, go and be safe, and safe travels. And thank you for your time this morning with my listeners. It's important, and we so appreciate it. Okay?
Thanks, Sandy. Take care.
All right, you too. All right, Sandy Rios, I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back all across the country yesterday, or Saturday. There were Spirit of America rallies. And those rallies were greeted by protesters who were organized and sometimes armed. And there was injury, especially in Berkeley. Not everywhere, but it was just an amazing thing. People, Americans coming out just to show their support for Donald Trump. And the response to that is people dressed in black with masks over their face, with weapons, taunting them and trying to shout them down and in some cases attacking. And we're going to talk about that next, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them Spiritual Heritage Tours. And I don't know how long these September seats will last. to. What do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
American Family Association has launched phase two of the Target boycott.
Tim Wildman.
It's a bold and aggressive social media plan to add another 50,000 names to the Boycott Target petition, and that will put us at 1.5 million people. We're asking you to continue to help us to promote this boycott so that Target gets the message and reverses their dangerous policy of allowing men into women's restrooms and changing areas.
Visit afa.net.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Official Washington is consumed with the allegation that Vladimir Putin's Russia not only tried to interfere with the United States 2016 election, but successfully did so, thanks, we're told, to the Trump campaign's unacknowledged contacts with Russian officials. In the face of relentless Democratic and media promotion of these memes, many of which have been fed by leaked classified information from past or present government sources, Republicans on Capitol Hill are vowing to conduct bipartisan inquiries. President Trump has asked that those inquiries address as well how the Obama administration obtained the information now being illegally disseminated for the transparent purpose of damaging him and his young administration. Former Justice Department lawyer and talk radio show host Mark Levin has dot-connected available circumstantial evidence suggesting wrongdoing by Team Obama. Lawmakers' investigations would be incomplete if they don't examine that possibility as well. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. We are in a fight, another fight for the life of the Republic. We are. And I think many of us hoped and prayed that we were past that and that we could relax a little bit. And we have, at least for a few months, haven't we? And I'm grateful for that. But I think now we have to turn our attentions to the business at hand. I was just having a conversation with, actually, Dr. Urban Lutzer is a good friend of mine. And I was just saying, why is it, Dr. Lutzer, that some people feel the burden of things so deeply and they can't rest? Those of us that cannot relax, we just see what's going on in the world and we feel a responsibility to do something. And then there are so many people who are going on about their lives. They're not connected. They seem oblivious and they don't feel there's any need for them to stay informed. Why is it they're so different? And it was just an amazing conversation, and sometime we'll open the phone lines and talk about that. But I know that that's not you. Those of you that listen to this show are engaged. You want to know and you want to do something. And as a matter of fact, we told you about a number of Spirit of America rallies that were taking place over the weekend on Saturday across the country. Some of them took place on Monday last week and others on Saturday. Now, here's what you have to know. an organization, this is probably one of many, but it has a website called It's Going Down. And it says It's Going Down as a revolutionary media platform for anarchist, anti-fascist, and anti-capitalist movements. We are a network of friends and comrades across so-called North America who seek to provide news and analysis of when it goes down. Riots, strikes, sabotage, occupations, expropriations, rebellion, revolt, insurrection. Whether together or alone, we support liberatory revolt. And it goes on and on and on. And then they printed this piece on March 4th in Washington, D.C. and across the country. An offshoot of the Tea Party, the Main Street Patriots, are organizing a swath of pro-Trump Spirit of America rallies. And then it goes on to say, come, and it talks about how terrible the Tea Parties were, how terrible the election of Donald Trump. And then it says this has led to a wave of attacks, acts of terror, and an environment of fear. Today across the U.S., people are standing up and fighting back. So let's go to a report out of San Francisco about what happened in Berkeley on Saturday. WPIX, let's listen.
Developing news anger boiling over in Berkeley. Our cameras are rolling as fights break out between anti-Trump protesters and the president's supporters. And good evening, I'm Juliette Goodrich.
And I'm Brian Hackney. KPX 5 reporter Don Lynn was there at that fight. You just saw it, pretty intense out there.
Yeah, I want to warn the folks watching at home, you're about to see some very violent footage. Now, what we saw today in Berkeley was not democracy. Instead, what we saw, just pretty much all violence. It was a free-for-all. Trump supporters and anti-Trump protesters going at it. Sometimes it was one-on-one. Other times, large groups of people punching, kicking, and hitting each other with sticks. Bloody noses and faces.
Oh, he just pissed. Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
There were so many fights, we lost count. Police officers stood by and watched as fight after fight after fight broke out between both sides.
I feel like they should have probably done some a bit sooner. There's already been like three or four fights. Several people have been pepper sprayed.
Some instigators used pepper spray. Others threw some kind of smoke canister into the crowd. And someone set off fireworks.
This is a sad day, and that we're better than this.
All right, so that's part of the report from WPIX. And what we know also from Berkeley is that the police pretty much stood by and watched it happen. I think there were 10 arrests eventually, but not very quickly. Well, Debbie Dooley joins us again this morning. Debbie is the co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots down from, she's in Atlanta, but it's a national movement. Main Street Patriots was the one that organized the Spirit of America rallies. And she joins us again to talk about what happened on Saturday. Debbie, thanks for joining us.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on your show.
All right.
And let me say one thing. These rallies were peaceful rallies. Trump supporters were exercising our First Amendment right. And it is unfortunate that when Trump supporters want to exercise their First Amendment rights, they have to have police protection. What happened in Berkeley, the police might as well not even been there. They stayed by and watched citizens being attacked. In the other rallies across the nation that we had, the police were very good, and they kept the protesters away from the Trump supporters.
So, Debbie, we'll come back to the violent part of Berkeley and the subversion, but what did happen? How many rallies did you have? And, just tell us, give us a report from the scenes there.
Well, we had, on Saturday, we had 90 rallies total. We had, altogether this past week, Spirit of America had, I think it was like 118 rallies, events nationwide. A lot of the folks did not want it listed on the website, their events listed on the website, because they were afraid of what the violent left would do. Total attendance this week, we are at Spirit of America rallies, we are estimating 45,000 to 50,000 Trump supporters attended rallies. Most of the rallies were actually peaceful. And it was a diverse crowd, Democrats, Republicans, Independents showed up. It was really interesting. It seems the blue states had some of the big, larger crowds.
Yeah, like for instance?
For instance, Michigan. Michigan had almost 2,000 at their rally. Lansing, Michigan had almost 2,000. San Diego in California had a large rally, and I think it was like 1,000 to 1,500 at their rallies. So that's really interesting. We were freedom-loving Main Street Americans that were showing support of our president.
You know, Debbie, that's the thing that is not reported. I was watching Fox yesterday, and I saw several, you know, reports on various hours, but I never once heard a reporter say that these are Americans who support Donald Trump, who came out just to rally in his support and his policies, and the weapons and the fighting was brought by subversive leftists. They came for a fight. They came to stop it. They came to cause trouble. It wasn't that Trump supporters went out to these capitals or wherever, parks or city streets, to fight people. And I, you know, that this is so obvious to those of us that are involved in the pro-America movement, but even the good press doesn't seem to be reporting it the right way. Have you seen some exceptions to that?
You're absolutely correct. They have not, and, you know, even Fox News had got a lot of things wrong about, you know, the rallies and, you know, the name of the rallies and the fact that it was the violent left, the anarchists that bought weapons, gas masks. You know, they were there to intimidate us. And I've talked to our organizers in other states, and they said that the police present prevented violence at the rallies. And a lot of the people that were there, the anarchists to cause trouble, gave up and left. In Cleveland, that there were so many threats about their rally. Law enforcement in Cleveland was very present. They even had snipers on rooftops, you know, and riot gear because they were so afraid of what would happen with the violent left. They were very good there, and they left. You know, it seems like they would go to the rallies to cause trouble, but once they saw a active police presence and the fact that the police were there to protect citizens exercising their First Amendment rights, they gave up and went away. It's unfortunate. The police department in Berkeley should be ashamed of themselves.
Debbie,
they should be ashamed.
No question about it. And look what just happened in Berkeley, 2 weeks ago, where Milo Yiannopoulos, regardless of his positions on things, it doesn't matter. They tore up buildings. They did tons of physical damage in the city of Berkeley, and the police did nothing. I mean, it was a riot. It was an all-out riot. And so the police did nothing then. I guess I'm assuming the demonstration in Berkeley, or the rally in Berkeley, that was affiliated with you guys, right? Main Street Patriots?
It was. We had some of our people there, but you know, also March for Trump had a big presence there as well in Berkeley. We had our biggest rally was in San Diego, but I mean, what the Berkeley police have done to these leftist rioting protesters, how is that different from, you know, the sheriff's departments in the South during the civil rights struggle that turned their backs and did not protect African Americans advocating to be treated equally when they turned their backs on the beatings and, you know, and the extreme danger and the threats and intimidation? That's exactly what the Berkeley police did.
Absolutely.
And it's astounding that they would do that. I mean, you're there to protect and serve. Had it been, you know, a Black Lives Matter protest going on and other leftist anarchist groups having a rally or a march and folks from the right started attacking them, you can bet the Berkeley police would have stepped in and stopped it. They're not there to protect and serve. They're only there to protect and serve you if you are a liberal in Berkeley.
You know, we're going to put footage of that on our Facebook page because I watched, I think Dennis Michael Lynch has a real, a really nice, complete montage of videos from these rallies around the country. And we'll put his website link on our Facebook page. That's where I saw a lengthy one that happened at Berkeley. It's really hard to watch. And Debbie, it has to be said, you know, that the people that were at that Berkeley march, I'm sure knew. I mean, they knew their police department was not good. They probably had, they could not possibly have anticipated that they would really step up to the plate and do any differently than what they did a couple of weeks ago when the riots took place. And so it took a lot of courage to go to that rally. It really did. And so I think we need to say, because how do peaceful people respond to this kind of violence? How do people who don't wish to kill or hurt or maim or destroy, but simply want to have their voice heard, how do they counter that? This must have been something you guys gave a lot of thought to before you did these rallies.
Well, and most of the rallies that we organized, we told our people, do not, if you have counter protesters out, ignore them unless they become aggressive and get violent. We told all of our people, we stressed time and time again, these are peaceful rallies. Ignore the counter protesters, because these counter protesters are there to engage you. So if you ignore them, that's the best course of action, unless they get aggressive, like what happened in Berkeley and a few of the others in Nashville. It was the same thing. I mean, they were there, but not on the scale of Berkeley. But, so they were there peacefully, and, to have this happen, I mean, it's really, and Berkeley's supposed to be the center of First Amendment.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well,
rights and all of that, but the Berkeley police clearly don't see it that way.
Debbie, before we run out of time, I want to read as best I can the email you got this morning. And let me just say this reflects, this is really and truly the kind of tweet, the kind of email I get. The left is vicious and evil. And this is what Debbie got this morning. Again, she is the co-founder of the Tea Party. She was behind these rallies over the weekend, and this is what she got. Please hold more rallies. Beating your punk blank Trump supporters is so fun. Trump's breath smells like Putin's blank. Nothing worse than a blanking traitor. Blank comrade Trump and his Trussian supporters eat blank and die. This to Debbie this morning. I read that. I know that's hard to hear, but I have to tell you that we are facing an opposition that not everyone that opposes our viewpoints is evil. Some just have a difference of opinion. But a lot of this is really honestly just outright evil. So, Debbie, thank you. Are you going to have more? Are there going to be more Spirit of America rallies in the future, you think?
Well, they're absolutely. Not only that, I mean, all this does is embolden us. We will not bow to the threats and intimidation of the left. We're just getting started.
Okay,
so
all right.
I would assume we're getting all of these emails. And if someone comes after me, attacks me, it won't take them long before they realize they've just grabbed a tiger by the tail.
All right, Debbie. Well, good luck with that.
And we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. We're going to be doing phone calls. I mean,
right.
we're very active.
All right. We're out of time, Debbie, but it's Tea Party Patriots. Main Street Patriots. Main Street Patriots will put the link on our Facebook. Debbie, thanks for joining me again this morning, and God bless and keep you safe. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.